our house, why don't we just come? Maybe have some rest or something like that. And I would imagine that Jesus had to have rest, you know, since he walked and he was in the body. But whatever reason it was, now we see that Peter and Jesus are coming to that house. And whoever is in that house, they're going to meet Jesus. They're going to be with Jesus. They're going to have a company with him. And he's going to be staying with them, you know, probably talking and just discussing stuff. But to me, it is so fascinating to realize that Jesus is coming to their home, to their house. And I wonder if today, when we would like to have this royal company with Jesus, if we can invite him to our homes. You see, Peter invited Jesus to come to his house. Why cannot we invite Jesus? Or can we? And sometime when you think about these things, when Jesus is coming to your house, I wonder if Jesus himself is going to be welcomed in that house. You know, do we have enough time to hide stuff that we don't want him to look at? We're not prepared this morning and said, Jesus, come on. You know, we probably left our home this morning, not even, you know, making our beds, but he's coming. And man, you know, what are we going to do? We have not done much cleaning, you know. Even, for example, Brother Jack invited us yesterday to his house. And of course, you know, Caroline had done some cleaning and maybe put everything neat and put candles in. It was so nice yesterday, last evening, the setting there. We appreciate that. But if we would come up to Brother Jack suddenly knocking on your door, can we come in the house? But my question is, well, Jesus doesn't have to knock on our doors. He's always there. But sometimes we don't think if he is welcomed in our homes with the things as they are there. You know, TV, what we watch, you know, magazines, what we look, or, you know, music, what we listen. Even sometimes the way we speak to our beloved ones, you know, to our wives, to our kids, we can appear so nice when we are in the church. You know, we can put nice dress, tie, coat, you know, we can put smile on our face, and we can appear so nice. But in homes, people don't see us. They don't look, I mean, they don't know what we are there. And what I'm saying is, Jesus is a King of Kings. He is a Lord of Lords. He is a Prince of Peace. That company, royal company, you just imagine that he is a mighty God. And that royal, his royalty, royal company with Jesus. Can we think of that? Do we want to have this royal company? This is, you know, when I read this passage, it immediately comes to my mind. Man, Jesus is coming to their homes. And knowing this fact, realizing that Jesus is always there, really helps me to be more careful, you know, what I do at home, when doors are closed, when no one can see me, you know, how I, you know, what are my relationship with my wife, with my kids, you know, I mean, just everything, because Jesus is there. And do you put him in a place at home, in the living room, which would honor him, or do you put him in the corner and say, Jesus, just stay there? Do you offer him the best place and so forth? Even if I would come to your home, or the president, let's say, or you immediately would treat him as someone, you know, on the high position. My question is Jesus welcomed in our homes today? And then the second, you know, when you look at this passage, for example, in verse 15, it says, "And he touched her hand." And he touched her hand. Maybe sometimes we read the passage, and you probably know this passage very well, and you can maybe even quote this passage, those that memorize, and you know exactly what is going on. But always, the uniqueness, I would say, of the Holy Scriptures is that always when you read it, even familiar passage, you say, what's new I can learn from that? But that's the uniqueness of that, that Holy Spirit always tells us something that we have not seen before. Even if you read this, you know, and he touched her hand. Look at this in these words, and he touched her hand. Who is touching her hand? Not just an ordinary man, but God himself in Christ Jesus. He is touching that lady. You know, she's laying down on the bed, she's sick, and Jesus is coming, and he's touching her. And that divine touch, that divine contact with this lady, I mean, just think about that for a moment. How many people around us need to experience this divine contact, this divine touch with Jesus. Those unbelievers that are walking outside, you know, these ladies that are working in this hotel, are they safe? Do they know Christ? If they don't, they need to experience this divine touch of Jesus. And we as Christians, you know, we sometimes need to check, are we staying in contact with our God? Or something in our lives that really need to be corrected, really need to be cleansed. So then we have this contact that is so visible, this is so obvious with our Lord Jesus, and we see that God is blessing us, or some areas in our lives that need to be corrected, so then God can really bless us. You know that sometimes we can hinder God to bless us? Those unrepented sins or some areas in our lives that need to be corrected and say, Lord, I'm sorry, you know, I haven't seen the things in my life. I probably didn't pay attention, but after you allow the Holy Spirit to plow you, to plow your heart, because sometimes our heart is like a ground, and if you don't plow it, if you don't allow plow to go deep with the power of the Holy Spirit, so then the Word of God stays on the surface. It doesn't go deep. It doesn't produce the fruit. So I encourage, you know, myself first of all, and all of us, to stay in contact with Jesus, to have this contact with Him, and never lose it. Never lose it. And if you realize that you were in somewhere not seeing this contact, it's not obvious, it's time for us to pause and to think and just invite Holy Spirit to work in our heart to show those areas, what's wrong and something like that. And not just company, not just conduct, but also if you really, when in the same verse, and she arose and waited on them. And if you read different version, it means, and she arose and began ministering unto them. Jesus came, they have a company with Him, and he just touched her. And now let's just focus on this lady. After Jesus touched her, she is no longer lying in the bed. No. Is she just laying down there and just smiling with appreciation what the Lord Jesus did for her? No. But the Bible says she arose and she began ministering unto them. It means that her conduct became so different. She was sick, she was lying down in the bed, and now Jesus is touching her, and she wants to minister. She wants to do something. It means that those people whose hearts have been touched by Jesus, they are no longer the same. Their conduct, their actions, completely different. They are no longer the same. And we must be different. We must show the rest of the world that we are different. You know, people talk about us behind our backs. They do. And I wish they can talk, man, he's different, she's different. Why? Because we know Jesus, because we belong to Christ. Of course, not always. We wish our conduct would be an example of Jesus, but sometimes we fail. Sometimes we're not up to His principles or His teachings. And our God is so merciful and forgiving God. We can come to Him, God, I sinned. God, I'm so sorry what I did. Please forgive me. And the great things about our God, He is always has His arms open, and He can receive us anytime. And, you know, He would restore us, He would renovate us, and He would encourage us to serve Him. It is about our God. So let's just have in our lives that our conduct would really exemplify Jesus, that people, when they see us, they really would say, man, this is something special about this man. The way we speak, the way we do business, the way we buy gas, the way we buy groceries, we would be always the example of Jesus that people could see through us. And lastly, you know, if you read next verse 16 and 17, what is happening there, that says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were possessed, who demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were ill. To me, when I read these verses, and again, I'm trying to picture what is happening there. Evening. You know what it tells me? Evening. It means that anybody who has body, you know, is tired, needs rest. And Jesus, you know, he walked a lot, and probably he needed that rest to restore his physical strength, so next morning he's ready to go. But the Bible says they brought all these people, all these sick people, so then he would touch them. Wouldn't be fair to say, come on, Jesus, you're tired, here is your bed, you know, we had nice beds here in this hotel. And Brother Willis, I appreciated that, that we have nice rooms, and praise God for, you know, for those that made these things available to me. Because it was so nice to lay in that bed last night, just, you know, turn on air conditioning. Man, it was just so comfortable. And it wouldn't be fair for Jesus. Jesus, here is your bed. Let me turn on air conditioning, you know, just, you know, here you go to sleep. But still, Bible says he healed them all. It means he didn't take a rest. He began ministering unto them. Why? And I question why. I believe because of his compassion. You remember the verse in the Bible, John 11:35, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Why he cried? Because people, they didn't receive him as a Messiah. They didn't accept him. They didn't understand the purpose of his coming. That's why Jesus wept. Because he had his compassion. He felt so sorry about these people. He felt, and he cried because he had this compassion. And to me, what is the application of this word to me as a Christian? When was last time when I really cried, really prayed because of my friend whom I've known for years and he's still lost? When was last time when I was on my knees praying for maybe one of my relatives and having witnessed to them? I got so comfortable knowing that fact that doesn't bother me anymore. But I see here this example of Jesus that he had this compassion upon those that lived in sins, that didn't accept him. That compassion. You know that today we must realize that Christians today, they've got very simple philosophy that I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I just don't care about those that live in sins, that don't know Jesus. We must get out of our comfortable zone, having that compassion that Jesus had, and just go to this world and tell people with this passion, with this desire, so that they can know Christ as their personal Savior. So now, after we read this passage, I wish that we would, those four things that we would have for ourselves today, first of all, just think about the company that we have with Jesus. You know, he stays with us. He's always with us. He knows our thoughts. That's a pretty scary thing. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything about me. He knows my looks. You know, where I look, you know, what I watch, what I read. You know, because knowing these things helps me to guard myself, the way how I live, the way how I speak, because this company is constant company with him. And let's just examine our hearts about this contact with Jesus, that we have this constant contact with him. Think about our own conduct, you know, our actions, our deeds, you know, the way we speak, the way we treat people, and also speaking of compassion, that we would have this desire for the rest of the world to know Christ, but especially those that are close to us, you know, in the military base when you're there, your friends, your peers. I remember myself being in the military, and thousands of people that didn't know Christ. And I was commanded not to preach the gospel. I was commanded, shut up, because if you're going to preach, you're going to be in trouble. I couldn't be silent. It's because I wanted to have this compassion as Jesus had. That those people, they live in sins. And if they don't know Christ, they're going to die. They're going to go to hell. And if you know these things, it will help you to have the same compassion as Jesus had. And I believe after we examine these things for ourselves today, I believe it will help us to be more spiritual, to walk with him, and just to be his example in our life. And we're going to pray. And if you don't mind, Brother Jack, we're going to probably bow our heads. And if you have a desire to pray, you know, you can pray. And I probably will finish with prayer.
Okay. Yes. Mike, would you start us in prayer? And serve us pray and funeral close.
Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you're in our presence, and that we've heard your word today, and that we'll apply it to our hearts, and that we'll get out of the comfort zone, and that we'll get out of our beds and serve you as you heal us on a daily basis. Again, we thank you for Theodore and his ministry, and we ask that you would bless it in the future, and that he will continue his outstanding ministry for you. So guide and direct him and be with this group as we ask it in thy name.
Well, what a great time this has been this morning, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in our midst. We thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing in this time of fellowship. Thank you this morning for Fyodor and his family, his commitment to you, his love for you is so evident in his life. And we're grateful, Father, that you're using him in a great way. We ask God for your continued power and demonstration of yourself through his life. Pray, God, that you'd continue just to use him in a great way in the lives of those Russians, the people around the world, people here in the U.S., as he encourages others to know about the work and to support the work that's going on, because we know that you're a God who's concerned about the souls of all men. You'll have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, you tell us in your word. So thank you again for Fyodor, his commitment, love for you. Pray for your continued watch care in his life. In Jesus' name.
Father, I pray that you would shake us out of our complacency. Give us a special appreciation for the rich heritage that we enjoy in America, but also a feeling of obligation to not only share it, but to live it and to give a living example of the difference that you can make in our lives. Father, we realize that your word is more caught than it is taught, and that your word is carried on the mainstream of the life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be more Christ-like.
Yes.
As we go about our daily walk. Father, I thank you for Fyodor. I thank you for him as a friend, as a mentor, as an encouragement, and as a brother. Father, I thank you for his family and who give up so much of their time with him so that we might enjoy and be encouraged by him. And Father, I pray for Galena this morning and for the two boys.
Yes.
And Father, I pray that for tonight, as we have people in our home, that they too might catch a vision and be awakened and shaken from their lethargy. We ask that you continue to bless the ministry in Wichita Falls, in whatever facet, whatever concern that you find most deeming for your presence. And Father, we pray that you'd give those that minister here special encouragement in the days to come. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray your kingdom will really grasp, take hold in our city. We pray for Wichita Falls, just for depth and growth, and people coming to Christ and people growing deeply and being used by you and having an impact on the world. We pray for Marietta, and she will continue and encourage with us in his vision there in the city. We pray for the whole country of Russia, just the, all these districts that the Russian Baptist Union and the BMA are reaching. God, we ask for great victory for people to come to faith, and that you'd raise up committed disciples, faithful disciples who can teach others also, generations of believers that can impact this country for Christ. Lord, we know without Jesus, life is meaningless, and the world has such a tremendous need for Christ. Thank you for what's being done, and help us know what we can do to help. We ask in Jesus' name.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for Fyodor coming to be with us today. And thank you for his message last night. I believe Fyodor has a commitment to you that is so deep and so understanding. Let his ministry flourish, and let him teach the people of his country Christianity, but let his presence in the United States make us more aware of the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that we have in Christianity, and help us to do what we can to preserve the wonderful Christian heritage that we take for granted. Thank you, Fyodor, and let your ministry continue. Have a safe trip. Be with your family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift you up and just praise you for this time that you brought these men together, Lord, and we can listen to the things that are going on in other countries, Lord, not just this city, and it's just amazing to hear this man and his stories and just to know that it's all about you, Lord. And
yes,
just thank you for this time of the year that we come together and we celebrate your resurrection, because without that, Lord, this all means nothing, Lord. It's just nothing without you. And we just thank you for Theodore, that you have filled him, Lord, with your Spirit, and you have molded him, and I believe we do see the reflection of you in him, Lord, because you have molded him and just chipped all the rough stuff away, Lord. And I just pray you'll continue doing that in our lives, and as we go out and walk with you, no matter if we're in Russia or Burnett, wherever that we walk, Lord, that people will see you and us, and not for our glory, and not that we'll be above any other man, but simply just for you, Lord. And we just thank you for yourself, and in your precious name I pray.
Father, I thank you for this precious moment of prayer. I thank you for this privilege of prayer. And I thank you that we can come to your throne anytime, and you're always there. You're always ready to listen to us, to hear our prayers. And I thank you that we can do it through your Son, Jesus, who died for us on that cross, and who is risen Lord now. And I thank you that we can know him as our personal Savior. Father, I thank you for this beautiful time that we can be together around your word, that we can study your word, and you can tell us what you have for us. Father, help us always in our lives to really reflect you, so others can see you in us. Father, thank you for this. It is a miracle that I can be in the midst of this godly man, that I can be in this country that once I was guarding missiles against. And it's a miracle, Father, that I'm here today, that I can study your word, I can be prepared for the ministry. It's only you, Father, only you can do these things. And I just pray for this country of America, that you would help Christians here to stand for you, just to be your servants. And I thank you for this man, and I thank you for each one of them, and for their desire also to come to my country of Russia, and to spread the gospel there. Father, thank you that anywhere where we go around this world, we always can find people that know you, and these people are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank you that you have united us, that we are one in the Spirit. And thank you that can preach the same message anywhere in Russia, in America, and the message is still the same, that Jesus saves. And Father, I thank you that you give us this time that we can work for you, that we can serve in your kingdom, that we can bring this message to those that are lost. And I just pray that you would give us this strength to preach the gospel to this lost world. Once again, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for Brother Willis and for his commitment to serve Russia, to serve you in Russia. And I thank you for all what he has done for me. I also thank you for Brother Jack and others that I presented here. And once again, Father, I may not know their names, may not know everybody, but you know, Father, you know their needs, you know their commitment to you. And I just pray that you bless each one of them. Once again, Father, we thank you. And I believe that you are in the midst of us right now by the power of your Spirit. And I pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.